For argument, United States versus Williams, Mr. McKinley.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is James McKinley. I'm with the Federal Defender's Office in Indianapolis representing Mr. Winthrop Williams. This case involves what I fear has become or may become a standard operating procedure in Madison County, Indiana. It's a procedure that works like this. When a drug suspect is arrested outside the home and the police believe they have probable cause to obtain or believe they have evidence to establish probable cause to obtain a warrant, they proceed to initiate the warrant application process. And in the meantime, police officers travel to the suspect's home, force entry, detain the occupants at gunpoint, and conduct a full-blown investigative search that yields guns, yields money, yields drugs, and then police wait around for the search warrant to arrive, at which point, of course, there's not much searching left to be done. This seems to be everything that the Fourth Amendment was designed to prohibit.
But the problem is, I mean, it's not a bad argument, but the problem is it would abolish the independent source or independent discovery doctrine completely.
No, I'm not asking for that, Your Honor.
Implicitly you are, because that's the problem, right? That's the problem, that if you have such a doctrine, it may make the police bolder about searching, feeling that, well, if the other team gets the warrant, we're fine. If they don't get the warrant, well, we wouldn't have been able to search anyway, so we haven't lost anything.
Well, Your Honor, understand, first of all, that we're not disputing
the
factual
findings. Your argument, which I thought was a good argument, but it seems to carry in its train the destruction of the independent source doctrine, which we can't do for you.
Your Honor, the independent source doctrine, as you know, is ground or based on the fundamental view that that the risk of unlawful conduct is too slight to justify exclusion of evidence in a criminal trial. Justice Berger in the Segura case.
But how is your case, if we assume, as the district judge found, that the people who conducted the search, that it wasn't, you know, a collusion between them and that the officer who was applying for the search warrant didn't use any evidence that the searchers got. If you assume that, then how is this any different from any other independent source?
Well, Your Honor, given the nature and the severity of the conduct, the purposefulness, the flagrancy of the police misconduct in this case,
but you see that your problem with that premise is that the judge didn't find that. He found, as a matter of fact, that there was no collusion.
And I'm not in a position to contest that finding.
Neither are we. So,
but I think to apply the independent source doctrine without considering the severity of the conduct, the flagrancy of the misconduct that occurred,
What's the misconduct? I don't understand. If the doctrine is applicable, there's no misconduct.
Well, there's certainly misconduct with respect to the officers who had invaded my client's home and conducted this search without exigent circumstances, without consent.
No, but that's what the independent source doctrine does. It takes a search which is illegal because there's no warrant, no exigent circumstances on. And it says, well, if they would have gotten a warrant, if they could have gotten a warrant, then it's, if they would have gotten a warrant lawfully, then it's fine. And that washes out the illegality. So,
Your Honor, the Eighth Circuit's
flagrancy business about it.
Well, it's the rationale that was employed by the Eighth Circuit in the case that I cited in United States versus Madrid.
Yes, but even the Eighth Circuit can't abolish the independent source doctrine.
Well, they didn't abolish it. They recognize that it's still a viable concept.
But how can it be under your theory?
Well, because the Eighth Circuit ruled that it simply could not ignore the severity of the circumstances, the severity or the flagrancy of the misconduct.
There's no misconduct if the independent source doctrine is applicable.
Your Honor,
there's no flagrancy. There's no severity. I don't understand you.
Your Honor, carried to its logical conclusion, it's this. Imagine for a moment this is not a drug case, but a...
I don't understand you. You're saying that if they had conducted this search, this illegal search, very politely, they come in and they say, you know, we're police, we're sweetie pies, we're not going to point guns at you, we're not going to make you sit on the floor, we're just going to conduct a search. And if they do that, you say, then it's fine, then it's protected by the independent source doctrine.
No, I'm not going to say that that's protected by the independent
source. Well, but then there's no more independent source doctrine.
Your Honor, at some point, a court has to step in and say,
every independent source case, there's an illegal search, but nevertheless, a warrant would have been obtained. Now, you're saying if... Now, I thought you, with all your flagrancy stuff, that if it was a polite search, no roughhousing or anything like that, then it would be fine, because that would be the minimum independent source case.
Your Honor, at some point...
What would be an independent source case, in your view, that would be legal?
Well, the fact scenario presented in Murray versus United States, the fact pattern that was evident in Segura...
Give me what you regard as the core of core of the doctrine. What would be a case... A simple set of facts which would satisfy you that it was an independent source case.
Case where there is an illegal entry and an observation of contraband or illegal evidence. The police withdraw, obtain evidence, or obtain a search warrant without using the information that was obtained.
Well, how's that different from this case?
Well, Your Honor, the independent source doctrine, again, is an exception to the exclusionary rule only because...
How is it different from this case? You say if they just go in, observe, that's my polite search case. They observe,
yes.
They leave, they get a warrant using completely different evidence, etc. Well, how is that different from this case?
Your Honor, at some point, the conduct becomes so egregious that this
what's
court cannot
turn
a blind eye to it.
What's the egregiousness here?
Again, Your Honor, it's simply... the egregious nature of the
what is
invasion.
In concrete? What is egregious? What bothers you about it?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What are the egregious elements here?
Forcing entry into a house without consent, without exigent circumstances, placing the occupants at gunpoint under arrest.
That's true in your example you gave. You have to be more precise about this. We started your example of a lawful independent source case is where there's an illegal entry followed by observation. Now, what is it that differentiates this case from that case?
The fundamental offensiveness of what the police did here, knowing full well what they were doing was wrong.
Don't be adjectival, be concrete. What is the conduct that you regard as...
The conduct is just as it occurred here. The use of weapons, detaining the occupants, conducting a full-blown evidentiary search, knowing full well that it was illegal. To condone this type of conduct is merely going to encourage the continuation of this type of conduct. And at some point...
But the standard you're suggesting is completely unadministrable. If it's somehow a placid... illegal entry followed by observation, it's okay, but if they draw a gun, it's not okay.
The case law isn't clear as to where the line could be drawn or should be drawn, but I can say that the court in Madrid talked about officers' exploitation of their presence at the scene. And in that case, they did not...
Well, that would be true in an illegal entry followed by observation. That would be exploiting their illegal entry. Get evidence that they would later use in the trial. Right?
Your Honor, I understand. I see that I'm running into my rebuttal time, and I will take a seat here and be prepared to readdress.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McKinley. Mr. Minkler?
Thank you. May it please the court, Mr. McKinley. My name is Josh Minkler. I represent the United States of America in this case. In this appeal, the appellant is asking the court to radically change Fourth Amendment law as applied by the independent source doctrine. Essentially, if the independent source doctrine applies, the exclusionary rule does not. What the appellant is advocating is, in fact, he concedes that the independent source doctrine does apply in this case, but he argues the exclusionary rule.
But he argues that it ought not apply. What he argues is it ought not because the egregious conduct of the police officers in going in should obviate the whole thing. That's what he says.
That's what he said, and I think.
And you don't believe that.
Factually and legally, I do not believe this is the case to change that precedent.
Well, that pretty much sums up your entire argument, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay. Are you going to go on, or are we home free at the moment?
Well, from the nature of your question, I believe I'll sit down.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Rick. We don't have much to rebut to.
1 minute.
I'm back for more.
Okay.
You know, power, they say, is a very heady thing, and history has shown us time and again that police entrusted with power cannot always be trusted.
Isn't that true?
Now,
judges either.
If we would take the government's position to its logical extension, imagine for a moment if this were not a drug case, if it were a white-collar case, a person is stopped, and there's evidence of identity theft. And they believe that they have probable cause to obtain a warrant. And they initiate the process. Police go. They kick the man's door in. They hold his family hostage. They threaten. They intimidate him. Why not? Torture him. They obtain the evidence that is illegally.
You're going way overboard.
They take it to the police station.
You're going way overboard. You're carried away by your rhetoric.
My point is this, Your Honor. There has to be a point.
You want to use this to punish the police.
Where this court has to step in.
Isn't that right?
No.
You want to punish the police based on the what you see as an egregious search.
Yes.
Okay. You can punish the police without changing the rules here at all.
There is a price to pay. They should not be able to emerge unscathed.
You can sue.
In this case, Your Honor, is exclusion.
1983. So the hell out of them.
As you know, Your Honor, if that were a remedy adequate to remedy Fourth Amendment violations, the exclusionary rule would have been gone a long time ago. Mm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Baldwin. You were appointed, right?
Federal Defender's Office.
Yep.
You were appointed?
He was appointed. You were appointed, counsel.
You were appointed.
Federal Defender's Office.
Yes.
Okay. Appointed. Okay. So we're grateful to you for your efforts on behalf of the court. Court will be in recess until 9:30.